My friend, the wondrous and glorious thing is that Jesus accepted her. Warts, wrinkles, sin-stained and cursed and all, and saved her soul. And he said, and wherever this gospel shall be preached, it'll be done as a memorial to her. We fulfilled that today, haven't we? And that scripture. Have to tell you, folks, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to know and be able to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. My mind just goes back over all of the years, and I'm not talking about my years. I'm talking about all of the years back to creation. And as my mind goes back over that and I see nothing in space at all, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the earth was without form and was void. My friend, there was nothing. But in the darkness of eternity past, there was a living God who in his mind had a plan to work it out. And he began his creation by bringing light into darkness. And into the darkness of the murkiness of the earth, chaos that it was, came the light of the Word of God, as he said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was very good. And then the next day he said, let there be land, and let there be vegetation on the land, and let the land bring forth and grow, and look what all it can do. And it was very good. It all came exactly where it was supposed to be. And then he said, let the universe be in order. Let the constellations be in the sky. Let the earth turn on its axis and rotate on its axis. Let the days and the nights be separated to daylight and dark. Let the constellations fill the universe and let them be for signs and for wonders. And let the moon rise and wane as it should and go down again. Let the tides come and go as they should. And you know what? It was very good. And then he said, and let the water bring forth fish, fowl of the air, let it come forth from the water, and let the heavens be filled with birds singing and flying through the air, and let the waters be filled with all kinds of creatures that are swimming in the water. And you know, it was very good. And on the sixth day, he nearly finished his creation. He created animals, all kinds of animals. I'm always amazed at the mind of God, my friend. He, looking down from heaven and in one word, created every vegetative form of life that's on this earth. And on another day, he created every single animal life that's on this earth. And his word said it. And his word created whales and elephants and bugs and crickets, all in the same breath. The mind of God, how awesome it is. But in the end of the sixth day, God did something different. He didn't speak this time. He acted and he moved. And the Holy Spirit had been brooding like a mother hen on a nest of chicks. The Holy Spirit had been brooding over the earth, and all of this was coming forth from it. But now God reached down into that earth, and then from that earth he began to bring forth all of the elements that makes a human being. And from the earth he created a man and a woman, and together they are man. And he created them, and he set them in the beautiful earth, the paradise that he had created. And he looked at them and he breathed into their nostrils. No, I'm sorry, Sistine Chapel. He didn't reach out his finger and have a spark of electricity to touch the man. He came down and he personally breathed into the man's nostrils and gave him the breath of life. And his spirit came into him, and man stood upright in the image of God. Man and his woman together one in the Lord, created by God. No, my friend, they didn't evolve from some lower species. They are the top of the line. They are God's crowning glory. They were not an accident. They were on purpose. God was not stumbling around one morning in eternity past and said, "Oh, Lord, all this darkness, what am I going to do today? Well, I'll make some light." Well, it worked out pretty good. And then he stumbled around and finally he comes up with this idea of man. My friend, no such thing. It wasn't a trial and error method. God wasn't trying and failing and trying again. God was working out a plan that was in his mind. Now, there were angels already created. We don't know how many. Millions, maybe. Billions, possibly. Trillions, could be. We don't know how many angels he had. But he had these mighty creatures and these wonderful creatures, chief of which was somebody named Lucifer, son of the morning. And he was so jealous because God had a plan. But God hadn't put his plan on Facebook. God hadn't put his plan on the computer. Nobody could dredge it up or pull it up. Not an angel, not anybody. God had a plan, and the plan was in his mind. And in the mind of God, and in the image of God, God created man. Man, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wasn't that great? Wasn't that tremendous? Looking at it, it was all good. At the end of the sixth day, the seventh day, God rested from his labor and stopped his creation. And God looked at all of it and felt so good about it. Because it all looked so good and it all looked so great. And he gave it over to the man. But there was a sinister evil in the universe that had brought itself to war against God. And he did not want mankind to go anywhere but down to the pits of hell where he was condemned to go himself. Old Satan, old Slewfoot, came as a serpent and beguiled the woman and enticed the man and caused them to sin and to come against God. And so begins the story. No, not a fairy tale, my friend, where everybody lived happily ever after, but a horrible story, a story of a paradise lost, a story of a paradise that was perfect in every way, and because of sin, Satan had crept in and taken it, and mankind had turned against his God so bad that within 2,000 years, God was willing to send a flood and wash them all away. But God's mercy intervened. God was a God of grace, and somewhere in eternity past, in the mind of God, he saw this creature that he was going to make called man. Oh, he wasn't as strong as the angel. He wasn't as smart as the angels. He wasn't as powerful as the angels. But, my friend, he had the potential to be God. He had the potential to go to heaven and to be with the Heavenly Father. He had the potential, even though he had sinned, even though he was stained as the woman with the alabaster box, even though he was cursed with the curse of sin, my friend, and even though this planet had been taken over by sin and by death and by the devil, and the empire of sin and death and the devil had taken over the planet, and nations war against nations, and they haven't stopped. Only thing we've done is create more weapons and more violent weapons. My friend and our ancestors could point an arrow and put it to a bow and shoot one person at a time. But now we're so sophisticated we can push a button and sit somewhere in a mountain of granite and cause a whole civilization to be destroyed on the other side of the world just in a moment. My friend, if you watch the news, you ought to tremble at the things that's coming on the earth. And those who are leaving are counted worthy to escape the things that are coming. And my brothers and sisters, this was not a fairy tale. My friend, this was the truth. God, in his infinite mercy and grace and his superior intelligence, had created man as you know him. And man sinned. And the earth was filled with violence. And the imagination of man was evil continually from his youth. And men imagined how to do evil things and to create evil and heartache and all kinds of sad things in the world. Sin, death, and the devil, my friend, established an empire of misery and heartache across the whole universe, and especially across the earth. And you say, well, I don't guess there's any hope. Man sinned and God sent a flood and he didn't learn a thing. He got out of the ark and got drunk and he got to making civilization and he built cities and he created war and he created mayhem and he created heartache. And across the empire of sin and death and the devil, my friend, the misery of human beings is there. You see it in the Holocaust. You see it in the ashes of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You see it in the jungles of Vietnam. You see it, my friend, all over the planet, the empire of sin and death and the devil have destroyed the harmony that was so good that God had created. And you say, oh no, that's all there is and there ain't no more. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's an old hymn that says, this wonderful line that's in this whole thing. It says, when morning has broken. And my friend, in the darkness of the night of sin, in the darkness of the tyranny of Satan, in the darkness of the fear of death, came this light. Somebody looked to the east and somebody said, and I enjoy so much, I have an east-facing window in our bedroom and I get up in the morning and I walk to that east-facing window and I look out toward the east, toward Hope's Chapel, and I see the streak of light begin to come in the sky and I begin to rejoice because there's a new day coming. And my friend, in the darkness of the night of the tyranny of sin, death and the devil, there was a morning that broke one day. One day the living God of heaven himself became a human being and stepped out of the portals of glory, walked down across the Milky Way and inseminated himself into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And my friend, he lived and died a perfect life and died a horrible death. And the demons of hell no doubt jumped and shouted with glee. Their whole thing and their whole tyranny and their whole victory was theirs from the empire that Satan and death and hell had created. And my friend, into that walked a little feller from up in Nazareth, just a little boy he was standing around with knowledge enough to confound the wisest people in the world. And he grew up and he became a man and they didn't like him and they crucified him. And they nailed him to a tree and nailed his hands and his feet. And they beat him to nearly a pulp and they put a crown of thorns on his head. And they killed him. And you said they killed him. Well, yes, they did. But he gave his life to them to kill. And he said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down for my sheep. And my friend, one day a streak of light came across Israel. And Jesus Christ had died and been put in the tomb. And they had rolled the stone in place of it. And there were four guards watching it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they sealed him in the tomb. And the devil said, that's the end of that. We've got our empire complete now. But my friend, on the third day, like he said he would do, in the darkness of that Easter Sunday morning, my friend, there came a light from the east. An angel streaked down from across the heavens and like lightning and grabbed that stone and rolled it away and the keepers fell on the ground. And my friend, the grave clothes laid still in the grave, but there was no body in it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, had turned into his glorious body and he stepped out of the grave clothes and stepped out of the open tomb and spoke to Mary and to the women and showed himself to the men and opened his hands and his feet up and pulled his cloak aside and showed him his side where the Spirit had gone in. And he said, I was dead. In Revelation, he said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and hell. My friend, that world that he created with his word has been redeemed. Not just the people, but the world has been redeemed. And Christ has paid the penalty for it. And Christ has stepped on the head of the serpent and crushed it. And Christ has stepped on the empire of sin, death, and the devil, my friend, and they've lost their victory. When he stepped out of that tomb, my friend, he no longer was subject to gravity. He was just as real when he came out of the tomb as he was when he went in it. But my friend, he never again would ever be subject to their vile treatments and the things that they did. And my brothers and sisters, the only thing he did was he came to those that were with him and he gave them the message of his resurrection. And the angel said, go tell my brothers, go tell my people that I am alive. And my friend, that was the message that they left the tomb with. Mary came and told him, said, he's alive. Said, we've been there and the tomb is empty and he's gone and he's not there. And they didn't believe her. My friend, people looked, but 500 people at one time saw him up in Galilee. He cooked breakfast one day for the disciples, bread and fish upon the fire next to the ocean, to the Sea of Galilee. He ate honeycomb and fish in the upper room with them on more than one occasion. And for 40 days he appeared to them and let them see how real he was and how complete his victory had become. And then one day, standing outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, he suddenly began to lose gravitation and he began to rise through the air and he began to go up and up, and everybody was looking and the clouds rolled back and the sun shined, and the Lord Jesus Christ went through whatever it is that you go through to get from here to heaven, and he appeared at the throne of the Father to present his body a living sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And because of that, he was invited to sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And because of that, my friend, he has promised, I'm coming back and I'm coming to get you. My friend, there's coming a day. Oh, what a wonderful day, my friend, when he's going to get up off of that throne of glory in heaven and walk down to this earth again and appear in the atmosphere of this earth. And my friend, every dead person that ever lived, saved and unsaved, is ultimately going to be resurrected. And one day, before the throne of the Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, every human being that ever lived will be standing there alive and be judged before God. And my friend, they that are saved will go with him to that new land and that new world. And there never will be a devil there. And there never will be a death there. And there never will be a sin there. And there never will be a heartache or a teardrop shed in that city. My friend, Jesus Christ is alive. And he has come to bring us life and to bring it to us more abundantly. Jesus wants you to go with him to the new city where there never will ever, ever, ever be anybody like me that takes care of dead people, because there won't be any. Never, ever again will there be anyone, Jenny, who's a nurse or a doctor, because there won't be any sick people. And never, ever again, sorry fellas, will there be any policemen in that city, because there will be no criminals there. They'll all be good. And my friend, never again will I stumble upon some mama sitting somewhere crying in her hanky because her children have broke her heart and gone to the devil. Never again will that happen, my friend. Never again. Because Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and the devil. And because of that, he said, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. Praise be unto the living, holy, and righteous God. If the singers will come, and as they come, I will pray. But we're going to sing. Bill Gaither never wrote anything else that was good. It's this one. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of song and the words of scripture and the words of exhortation that we've been able to have today. I thank you, Father, that you've given us grace and mercy to stand. And looking back over all the years of creation, Father, I thank you for all you've done, but I thank you most of all that you redeemed us from among men, redeemed us from our sins, and paid the price for our transgressions. Touch us now, O Lord, with thy grace, cover us with thy mercy, and sanctify us with thy presence. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going